Let's face it, people have different sleep needs. While you love your partner, sleeping next to them might not always be the most comfortable. Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs, so you can choose what's right for each of you whenever you like. Maybe you prefer a firmer mattress and your partner needs something softer. Because of the individualized comfort that you get from Sleep Number Smart Beds, you and your partner will sleep better together. All Sleep Number Smart Beds feature cooling, pressure-relieving comfort layers for soothing sleep throughout the night. And their temperature balancing bedding is designed to move heat and moisture away when you're hot. When you're cool, they hold their energy to help warm you. The smart beds even automatically respond and adjust to your movements, so you sleep comfortably all night long. JD Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For JD Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com. This podcast is brought to you by eHarmony, the dating app to find someone you can be yourself with. Why doesn't eHarmony allow copy and paste in first messages? Because you are unique and your conversations should reflect that. eHarmony wants you to find someone who will get you. How are you going to know who gets you if people send you the same generic conversation starters they message everyone else? Conversations that actually help you get to know each other. Imagine that. Get who gets you on eHarmony. Sign up today.
Welcome to Balance Black Girl, a podcast dedicated to mental, physical, and emotional health from the Black woman's perspective. Tune in to hear from Black women health and wellness experts giving the approachable advice you need to help you feel your best. I'm your host, Lestrandra Alfred. Let's dive in. Thank you for tuning into this week's episode of Balanced Black Girl Podcast. My name is Les. I am your host, and I am honored to be sharing space with you today. So today's episode, I hope you have a pen and a piece of paper ready, or you're maybe in a position where you can pause and take notes, because today's episode is so informative, like jam-packed with incredible, incredible information from our guest. But before we dive into the interview, I had just a couple of announcements and important things that I wanted to share before we dive into that conversation. So the first being, our membership community that we launched back in November has just been such a beautiful, sacred, incredible space. The members that we have who are listeners of Balanced Black Girl are truly just the kindest, most supportive group of people I think I've encountered on the internet. And we have just created something so special. And what I appreciate the most about it, in addition to all of the members being so kind and so engaging and supportive of one another, is the focus on action. So my mission in creating the membership was to create a space where we could take the topics that we discuss here on the podcast and where we could have a bit more space to put them into action. So each month in the membership, we have a specific theme related to wellness and self-care. You have exclusive content modules that help you really put things into practice. Maybe we've talked about a topic here on the podcast, you thought it was cool, but you're like, okay, how do I apply that to my life? The content in the membership is how you apply it to your life. So in January, our theme is on habits and routines, and we are getting our habits and our routines together, because when we have our habits and routines together, that's when more of our time can truly be ours for play, for love, for self-care, for whatever. You know, productivity is one of those things where we walk a tight line with it, because when we're doing more for the sake of doing more, that's when some of that not so good conditioning can come in. And so if that's what you're being productive for, that can be a slippery slope. But on the other hand, when you're focused on being really efficient so that you can have more of your time back, that can actually be an act of self-care. So this month, in the month of January, we are really focused on exclusive content for getting our habits and routines together. I've actually had quite a few people reach out and ask about extending the deadline to join the community. So we are actually going to be extending the doors opening through January 31st. So if you have not yet joined us, we decided to leave the doors open until January 31st. So if you haven't joined us yet, please make sure you do at community.balancedblackgirl.com. And looking forward to February. I am so excited for all that we have going on in the community in February. So February's theme is going to be all about self-love. We're going to have an incredible self-love challenge. We have an incredible Q&A session planned with former podcast guest Sheena Tubbs of Black Girls Heal, talking all about self-love and healthy relationships and breaking toxic patterns. Like, it's going to be incredible. So again, you have until January 31st to join us in the community at community.balancedblackgirl.com if you have not yet already, and I really hope to see you there. The other thing I wanted to share before we jump into today's interview is just a little announcement of what the next month or so is going to look like around here. And for me, when it comes to balance, one of the things that is really important to me is that I not only create content that is honest and meaningful and relevant, but also that I am really walking the walk in what I put out there. And recently, I just realized that I got to a point where I was really doing too much and truly need a break in some aspects to refresh, to recoup, to go within, and just have a few less things that I'm juggling in the air. So for the first time ever, I'm actually going to be taking a hiatus from the podcast, which I've actually never really done before. We have always had continuous episodes of the podcast for 2.5 years now. It used to be weekly, and then I went to bi-weekly to create a little bit more spaciousness for myself. And I'm actually going to be taking the month of February off from creating new podcast episodes, booking guests, interviewing, all of it. I'm actually just taking a time out from creating content, also taking a time out from social media, just really hitting the pause button, so that I can focus a little bit more on taking care of myself. Because if I'm being totally honest, there are a lot of times where I forego taking care of myself to show up here. And that's okay to an extent, because I love what I do here. I love getting to create content for you, and I love getting to support you in your wellness journey. However, when it gets to the point where I'm neglecting my own, that's when I'm really being hypocritical and I'm not walking the walk. And it is really important for me to also be an example of what it is that I preach to you all. And so I think taking this break is going to be wonderful. It won't be a full, you know, not like a full vacation, because the girl still works and we still have things that we do. I will still absolutely be in the community, although I now have an incredible supportive team who is also helping with that. But you won't find me in new episodes of Balanced Black Girl in February. You will not find me on the gram in February. I'm taking a social media break. So the one place that you will find me is within the community. But I am so excited to hit pause for a few weeks and to really refresh and get re-inspired and go within and get my apartment together and just get myself together for this year in a way that I haven't truly been able to yet, because I was really focused on creating content constantly. And I also share that not only to give you a heads up in case you're wondering, like, what's up with Les, where's she at, but also to remind you that it's okay to take a break sometimes. And I don't know who needs to hear that, but I'm sure somebody out there does. If there are things that are on your plate, it's okay to pause. It's okay to take breaks. It is okay to reprioritize and to do different things for a little while. You can always come back to it. Like, I will fully be coming back to this space. It is truly a temporary hiatus, just a little break. But it is more than okay to hit the pause button and to go within and take care of you. And so while it is going to be sad to not have fresh content for a little bit here, I think it is super important, and I'm excited to come back inspired and rested and better than ever. And during the month of February, while I will be on hiatus, we will be re-airing some of our older episodes, some kind of greatest hits, A Balanced Black Girl, that I'm excited to reshare. So if you're a newer listener and maybe you haven't heard those episodes, or maybe you missed them, even if you have been following the show for a little while, maybe if you have heard them but you want to hear them again, we are going to be resharing some of our older episodes because we have incredible guests who drop gem after gem, and sometimes you got to listen to an episode more than once to pick them all up. I know I do. So that is my announcement of where I'm going to be at in the coming weeks if you don't see me in ways that you're used to seeing me. However, if you are a part of our membership community at community.balancedblackgirl.com, I will still be there being a member of that community, engaging with the community, and doing our events, book club, and sharing content there. So now let's get into today's interview. And honestly, this episode is one that I am so excited about. Our guest, Marianne Berry, is a menstrual health educator, integrative health practitioner, and the founder of the Flow Academy. Part of her mission is to teach menstruating individuals how to master their menstrual cycles one period at a time. Getting those for a while now, what is there to learn? Let me tell you, there is so much to learn. Berry is so knowledgeable, and the way she breaks everything down in this episode, like I said at the very beginning, you're going to want to have your notes app out. You're going to want to have a pen and a piece of paper. You're going to want to have something to keep track of all of this incredible information that she shares, because it is necessary information. So without further ado, let's jump into the interview with Berry. Marianne, welcome to Balanced Black Girl. I'm really pumped to have you here today.
Oh my goodness. Thank you so much for having me. I'm so honored to be here, and I'm so excited to share this space with you.
Oh yeah. Well, I am honored to have you in this space, and I'm so happy that you're here to help us get our periods together, because we need to get them together.
Yes.
Before we dive into that, can you tell us what brought you to the wellness space and how you became a period educator?
Yeah. So whenever people ask me this question, it's just kind of funny because I feel like I've always been in the wellness space. Like I was an elite level athlete. I was a collegiate athlete. So like health and wellness was kind of just like the norm for me. Mm-hmm. But specifically for periods, I was actually interviewing someone for my podcast back in 2019. And on my podcast, I remember this girl saying, periods are not supposed to be painful. I was like, I'm sorry, what? Like, pause. I've never heard this in my life. In the 12 years of having a period, I had never heard that periods were not supposed to be painful. And we had a whole discussion about it. And at the time, I was a certified functional nutritionist and personal trainer. And I was like, I'm going to try to fix my own period. So selfishly enough, I went on this healing journey, obviously, you know, to fix my own period, and found a world in which, you know, I was able to heal and help myself, but also so many other people who had painful periods. And the whole title, if you will, of period educator came from the fact that I was immersed in tons of research. I read like every book under the sun about periods and hormones and understanding your cycle, but there was no one place I could go as a woman of color and really get the knowledge that I needed and the support that I needed. So I decided to create that space, and hence me being a menstrual health educator and integrative health practitioner.
Amazing. There's so many things that I want to get into there, because it's super relatable. One, I think painful periods and uncomfortable periods are something that are so, so normalized that until you hear someone talk about their experience not having that happen, you're like, oh, wait, what? Because it's just something that's supposed to suck. It's supposed to be terrible. We're supposed to hate it. And I think that education is so important. And what you said about having like a single place to go to where you can actually learn how that part of your body works, because it's not something that we're actually taught.
Mm-hmm. And you know, it's so interesting because the narrative around periods and menstruation starts off negative, as soon as you find out that you're going to have a period, I mean, I remember being in the fifth grade where they were like, we were doing some type of like VHS situation, like super old school, watching a girl get her period. And she was so embarrassed, feeling so guilty, so ashamed of her cycle. And I remember I was in the fifth grade watching that. And not too long after, I think like 2 years later, I got my period and I had those same feelings. And that narrative of like shame and guilt and the taboo surrounding menstruation followed me my entire life. So it's no wonder that my period was heavy. And, you know, the relationship I had with like my bleed, my flow, all of it was just terrible. So, you know, having a safe space for people to come to learn about it, but also normalize that stigma surrounding periods. Like they're gross, they're like disgusting, all those things. I just really wanted to change it, but also empower and educate women to, and menstruators alike, to be able to heal and help themselves. So yeah, that's kind of how it all happened and why it happened too.
That's so good. And I loved what you just said about your relationship with your flow, your relationship with your period, and how that has helped change it and change your experience with it. Because I don't think I've ever thought of it that way before or heard anybody say that, where we talk about having a relationship with our cycles and with how our bodies work.
Yeah. And you know, there's this, we live in the culture of self-love, body positivity, and self-care, right? Mm-hmm. That should be applied to every single aspect. Yet we have these aspects where we're like, oh no, that's an untouchable. And like, I feel like the periods have been the untouchable topic and like the part of ourselves where we just struggle to love it because it is painful at times, because we don't understand it. But like, how about go into it, figure out where that wound lies, what is that really linked to, and then like heal through it, transform it from within, and then keep it moving. That's what I'm all about.
Ooh, I love it. I love it. Let's do it. Let's like talk through it and heal through it. So yeah. I think first it might be helpful if we start with just kind of a basic kind of overview, because I think a lot of people still don't understand how periods work and the different phases of our menstrual cycles. And I will be honest, it was very like the past couple of years where I actually learned that, and I've been getting periods for about 20 years now. And for so long, it was either like, I'm either on my period or I'm not, but I didn't understand everything that happened in between.
Okay.
Let's walk through it.
All right, friends, get out your notebook, Menstruation 101. Yes. We are here. So what happens throughout your cycle when you're not bleeding is what we need to cover. So like you said, there are four phases of the menstrual cycle. The first phase is what we are all familiar with. This is menstruation. This is when the endometrium lining is shedding. This is when you are bleeding. This is when you're typically like, please don't look at me, don't touch me, and don't talk to me. This is that phase. And believe it or not, during this time, there's actually 25% more connectivity between the right and left hemispheres of your brain. So like we might notice heightened intuition, but also creative juices flowing, but we're still a little irritable. And I love to throw that out there because it's like we get to harness the power of menstruation in ways that people never taught us, but like we'll get there. And then the second phase of your cycle is called the follicular phase. This is when your menstruation is completely done at this point, but your hormones begin to rise, specifically a hormone called your follicle stimulating hormone and your estrogen are on the rise during this time. And what you'll notice physically is kind of like the veil is lifting and you have a bit more energy. The third phase of your cycle is called ovulation. Now, we're all pretty familiar with ovulation. This is when we're feeling like a whole new person. This is when there is a surge in your estrogen, as well as your testosterone, as well as another hormone called the luteinizing hormone. This is like my favorite phase. And I feel like a lot of us have this as our favorite phase because we're like feeling fun and flirty. We're like, yes, I get to do all of the things. And like, you can't tell me I'm not amazing. And then the fourth and final phase of your cycle is called the luteal or PMS phase. Now, during this phase of your cycle, this is when everyone's feeling a little testy, and that's because your estrogen levels have dropped. And just like a side note, as your estrogen levels drop, so do your serotonin levels. So people may notice they're feeling a little bit more irritable and a little bit more moody, but there's another hormone that actually rises called progesterone. And I like to say this is like your potentially viable pregnancy hormone. This hormone has one job, and that's to support a potential pregnancy. And in doing so, you'll start noticing that you might get a little bit bloated. You might feel a little bit fatigued, and it's because of the actions of this specific hormone. And if you are not conceiving, then of course your progesterone levels will decrease. And so the story goes, your endometrium lining begins to shed, it detaches, and your period starts all over again. And it takes us back to phase number one.
I mean, hearing you describe it that way is just as a reminder of how incredible our bodies are.
Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like
amazing.
We underestimate the power of our bodies in so many different ways because of how we've been conditioned. And, you know, we don't think about how our bodies are on their own natural rhythms. And when you look at the menstrual cycle as a blueprint, you're able to understand the body and like what you're capable of doing. You begin to notice like, hey, you know, I feel really good for 2 weeks and then I kind of feel like trash for 2 weeks, but it's okay. It's okay to feel like trash and have that downtime because I'm just going to like do some more self-care, do another guided meditation or do a face mask. You know, you give yourself this like permission, if you will. Once you understand your period and its power, you then give yourself this permission to just like be who you truly are.
Yeah. Yeah. That's so good. And I loved what you just said about kind of adjusting your self-care and adjusting how you treat yourself to where you're at in your cycle. Can we talk about that a little bit more? Like how your wellness and self-care routine may change?
Oh, for sure. Okay. So this is like, I'm the person who loves Google Calendar and I love to schedule what I call vacation days. Mm-hmm. The day before my period, the first day of my period, and the second day of my period, that is my time to bleed and be. Do not talk to me. Do not look at me. Face mask all day. And I allow my body to physically release, but also energetically and emotionally release. So, you know, when you're physically releasing, like your endometrium lining is shedding and you're bleeding, your body emotionally is doing that. So energetically, you want to make sure anything that's no longer serving you, you're also releasing. And that is one of the things that I've learned over the past 2 years, if you will, how important it is to let go of those emotions that are not serving me, right? To let go of that weight that I shouldn't be carrying, because it's actually directly associated with like my period and how painful it is or is not by tuning into that. So that's just like when I'm in phase one of my cycle. When I'm in phase two, three of my cycle, self-care isn't like super up there because I'm really focusing on executing and getting things done. That's the time to really strategize, but also to create and communicate. And then when I get to the fourth phase in my cycle, that PMS phase, where again, turning within and focusing on that internal world, and like what my needs are and how I can fill my cup up and then, you know, preparing my body to release again.
That's so, so helpful. Something that came up for me as you were describing kind of the changes in your energy and how you treat yourself during those phases is thinking about all the ways that we expect ourselves to perform at a super high level and do all of the things all of the mm-hmm. time. And how it seems like our bodies are just not designed to do that.
They're not. And, you know, I love to just talk science. So we're going to get like kind of nerdy really quick. Yeah. Our hormones are rising and falling. They're literally ebbing and flowing all month long. So it's like, okay, we're going to start the month. Like you start your cycle on this like low, mellow, chill vibe. And then you go into the second and third phases of your cycle and it's really high and focusing on that execution, right? So if I were to say, like, if any of you are entrepreneurs listening to this, make sure you write this down. Anybody listening to this that works, honestly. The first phase of your cycle is always going to be your ideation phase. The second phase of your cycle is always going to be creation and strategic planning. You're not going to take action just yet, but your brain operates a little bit differently and so do your hormones. So your limbic brain, which is like the emotional side of your brain, is not as active during your second phase of your cycle. So you can do anything that's like logical, analytical, super hypercritical during that second phase. During that third phase where you are ovulating, this is when you are executing. This is when you are communicating, negotiating, really achieving your goals and your dreams. And then during that fourth and final phase of your cycle, that PMS phase, you'll notice a dip in your energy again. So rather than like, you know, pointing out problems in like relationships or like just calling people out, go within again, right? But start analytically looking at and critically evaluating what's happening maybe in your business or in your personal life and coming up with solutions. Being problem solution oriented is really key during that PMS phase. And of course, just like reflecting and releasing as need be.
So good. I just took so many notes.
Okay. Good. I'm like, I feel down. I feel like I'm like running through everything so fast, but I'm just like, there's so much information that we were not equipped with. And it's like, this is the blueprint that we can all live our life by if we choose to.
For sure. For sure. And it's so helpful. And it also helps us give ourselves grace of knowing, okay, when I'm ovulating, that's going to be the time where it is like, I'm killing it and I'm blazing and that's great. And then the week after that, I'm going to allow myself to rest and I'm not going to have those expectations. And it's the time for grace. And understanding that is so important.
And, you know, when we put it on our Google Calendar, chill, yes. Like chill.
Yeah.
I really feel like we get it. We understand like, hey, you know what? I don't need to answer that email right now in this moment. Or you know what? I don't need to have that discovery call, or I don't need to have that interaction. And there are times I understand where you're still going to have to do a lot of execution on your period, right? Like I don't like to do anything on my period if I can control it, but there are times where I have to be on. And so I can control and align my schedule to say, okay, this is a day I'm on my period. I have a big interview, for instance, right? I have a big call. I'm on Balanced Black Girl Podcast. Big deal. We got a lot going on. So instead of like worrying about every other minute detail that I need to focus in on, I focus on that one major task when I'm on my period, and that is it. And then everything else can kind of be at the wayside and I don't have to touch it until I'm done with my bleed, when I'm done releasing, and then I can refocus and be like, okay, I'm good to go. Let's get it done.
Oh, that's such a good tip. So if you do have something that you can't move or that needs to happen during that time, making that the main thing, really focusing and then going back to resting once it's done.
Yeah, I think that we feel like we have to be very like linear and, you know, go off a 24-hour clock. But like fun fact, we have an infradian rhythm. And so we're not on a 24-hour clock like everyone else. If you have a period, you are actually somebody who is on a 28-day clock as opposed to the 24-hour clock. So our bodies in the way that we move and process is going to be a little bit slower, but a lot more rhythmic than somebody who resets every 24 hours.
That's good. Oh, that's such a good point.
Yay.
So for people who maybe have periods that they're struggling with, like if they have an incredibly painful period that is really interacting with their quality of life, or maybe they have a period that's irregular, it's not every 28 days, and it's kind of whoever's best guess as to when it will come next. Mm-hmm. What are some things that they can do to help get their cycle either something that's less dreadful or more predictable?
Ooh, such a loaded question. It's getting juicy. Okay. So the first thing I would say is find out if your period problem is primary or secondary. A lot of times people go into fixing their periods without understanding if there's other health issues going on. So we want to identify, is this just solely related to my period? So it's a primary issue, or is it my period pain associated with something else that could be going on? You know, women of color, we are impacted with a lot of things related to high blood pressure, high blood sugar, got diabetes, hypertension, we've got obesity and different things like this. So those three things specifically impact our periods, which would mean that your period problem is actually a secondary issue, because your primary issue could be related to the hypertension. It could be related to the diabetes or the obesity. So you would want to work with your doctor first and foremost to find out if it is a primary or secondary issue, because the way that you treat it is going to be different. Now, if your only problem is your period and you're like me and you know, that's the only struggle you really have right now, well, then you are going to start with food. Eat better, not less is my food philosophy, because you really want to work with your hormones from the inside out and making sure that you're nourishing your body properly. I love to tell people protein, healthy fat, and fiber at every single meal, and then eliminating some of those foods that are not really serving you. So this can be our caffeines, our alcohols, our sugar, but also that dairy that, like, who doesn't love a nice cheese board right now, okay? But those are things you would want to actually eliminate because they negatively impact the way your hormones are working. So those are the first two places I would start. And then, like, hot tip, raspberry leaf tea helps to strengthen and tone the muscles of the uterus. And I can't not recommend that because it is, like, the one thing that I took that I know changed my period altogether.
Amazing. How often do you recommend having raspberry leaf tea, like on your period or outside in other phases?
So for me, it's like a daily thing. And I recommend that to everyone as a daily thing, unless they are trying to conceive. If you are trying to conceive, you need to work with your doctor, because there's an alkaloid in raspberry leaf tea that'll work a little bit differently with your body as you are trying to conceive. But if you're just trying to manage your period pain, drink it every day, 8 to 12 ounces, get your life. You'll be great.
Love it. And are there different foods that are better for us or that support different phases of our cycle?
The answer is yes, but it is so important that we understand having a balanced plate at every single meal.
Yeah.
I can get really specific and say, hey, during this phase of your cycle, so during phase one of your cycle, we want to focus on comfy and cozy foods, complex carbohydrates, quinoa, different things like that. But I cannot stress the importance of actually just getting a protein, a lean protein, a healthy fat, and a fiber. And when I say fiber, think dark leafy greens, think our sweet potatoes, different things like that at every single meal. More often than not, what I've noticed is people are having one meal a day and like 5 cups of coffee and then being like, my period is painful. Your body is starving. Of course your period hurts. Like, what are you doing? So like, we kind of have to start with the basics of nutrition. And then from there, we can get into like the nitty gritty. Do you want to like get into that?
Sure. Yeah.
Okay. So first phase, menstruation, we're going to do our comfy, cozy foods. And we're really going to focus on actually carbing up a little bit. So as the body is releasing, we want to make sure that we are replenishing it with lots of fibers and complex carbohydrates and also micronutrients like your irons and your zincs. So I say anything like from like a nice mac and cheese situation, like if that's what you're feeling, go for it. You know, if we're feeling sweet potatoes, go for it. Things like that. In the second phase of your cycle, you want to keep it pretty light and pretty fresh. And so instead of having a lot of warm foods, you're going to go for things that are a little bit colder in temperature. So a lot of different salads, dark leafy greens, again, because we still want to focus in on those micronutrients and really that iron and zinc, because those levels are going to be a little lower. Now, during ovulation, this is when your metabolism actually changes and does increase. And I like to suggest that people have a lot of protein during this phase. And again, we want to stick with lean proteins, but also healthy fats. So I'm a big fan of like salmon, like a smoked salmon situation with like lemon pepper. Oh, so good. We love that. Or like an asparagus with salmon. Oh my goodness. I'm telling you guys what I eat every day. But things like this is really going to help you. And then again, during that fourth and final phase of your cycle, we're going to go back to those comfy, cozy foods, things that are a little bit more nutrient dense and calorically dense as well.
Amazing. That is so helpful.
Yay.
One more question kind of along those lines is, should our fitness routine change with the different phases of our cycle as well?
Yes, 100%. Okay. This is like, as a former personal trainer, you know, I can't not get excited about this. So the first phase of yours, well, let's just start with the blanket. You're going to do 2 weeks of like high intensity stuff and like more like strength training, and then 2 weeks of lower intensity active recovery. That is like the baseline. But to get a little bit more micro with it, when you are on your period, the focus needs to be rest and active recovery. Really low key things, so you're not applying additional stress to the body. Once your period is done, I would say that's when we're going to do a lower intensity exercises for about 2 to 3 days and then get into the higher intensity things. So think Pilates, a nice hike, yoga, and then like go to your spin class once you're 3 days, 4 days post period. When you're in ovulation, this is when you are going to focus on strength, resistance, and power training and really just flexing. Because there's a surge in testosterone, this is the optimal time to do any heavy lifting, any maxing out, any sprinting, anything along those lines. That's what we want to do. And then during your PMS phase, that fourth and final phase, you're going to take the energy and your workout levels down again. And we're going to do low intensity, active recovery based things. I personally love to box during this phase because, like, I'm already a little irritable. So I'm like, let's just go hit something. Like, let's just go for it.
Yes.
And it feels really good to be able to release energy like that, but also know that it's not applying too much stress to my body. And there you have it, the blueprint of flow workouts.
Oh my gosh, that was so good. I appreciate how specific you were because I love some specificity here and just giving people really tactical tips.
For sure.
On the other end of that, you know, I'm thinking back when I was a personal trainer and didn't understand how all of this worked. And I think about the times where I worked out high intensity all the time for like 8 years, right?
Mm-hmm.
For people who do that, who are just constantly working out really hard, going really heavy, does that have a negative impact on our hormones?
I'm going to be honest and say yes. And, you know, I don't like to say yes because I know what it was like to be like a high level athlete and be addicted to training because that's what it is.
Yeah.
But, you know, once you get to a certain level, it's hard to work with your flow because you probably never heard of it.
Yeah.
But then sometimes when you are training at such a high level, your period does disappear.
Mm-hmm.
So that does negatively impact your hormones overall because your menstrual cycle is a monthly report card of your health. Based off of how heavy you're bleeding, based off of the coloration, based off of whether or not you have pain. It's like a report card saying like, oh, you're healthy today, or no, you're not healthy. You need to fix this. So when you are training at these high levels, it does negatively impact your hormones because you don't give your body a break to actually rest, recover, and relax. And if you're like, listen, sis, I can't give myself a break, I'm going to tell you this. Put 3 days on your calendar. Day before your period, first day of your period, second day of your period, and go be great. Like, at least give yourself 3 days to actively rest and recover and like be with yourself. Bleed and be is what I always say. I said I'm going to put on a t-shirt one day, but like still haven't done that. But like literally just bleed and be and relax so that your body gets a chance to recover. Because in the event that you don't, your period might come up missing. You might struggle to conceive. And like, we don't want those things for anybody.
For sure. Well, and I appreciate you being honest there because, you know, I never want to, you know, scare anybody. I mean, everybody has the autonomy to do what they want to do and train how they want to train and drink as much coffee as they want to drink. However, it is important that we have those honest conversations because we are told that those things are what's good for us is to, you know, work out all the time, super hard till failure. Or, you know, having X cups of coffee or whatever, we're just told that these things are just okay and don't fully understand how they work with our bodies. And so I think just giving us all the information so that folks can still make the best choice for them is so important.
Yeah. And, you know, I always tell people, I am here to inform you and never to offend you. So if you're listening to this and you're like, listen, this didn't hit me the way I wanted to, this hit real different.
Yeah.
Just know, I want you to dig deeper into that. So like, why is it that you can't go a day without working out? What is your relationship with exercise like? What is your relationship with your body like? And why is it that you can't give yourself permission to rest? Because rest is an essential part of training. Everybody knows that, you know? Yeah. So like, think about maybe areas where you might have a toxic relationship with something that's supposedly healthy and figure out how you can fix it. And like, I'm not trying to offend anybody, but like, you know, somebody has to say it.
It, you know, and that's sometimes the tough pills to swallow are the vitamins we need to take, you know?
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, honestly, I remember the moment that I started talking to people who were personal trainers about like training their clients in sync with their cycle. And they were like, wait, what? And all of my friends who are trainers are just like, I love this. This makes so much sense. Okay, so we can like schedule things like this. I should test them during this time. Oh, so I should adjust the workout this way. People are still getting their results. It just, you know, it takes a little bit of time to unlearn kind of the norm that we thought was okay and like learn something that is really actually okay. It's unlearning and then relearning.
For sure. For sure. Relearning. And I hate to say like new normal because it's truly how our bodies were designed to work, but it is kind of a new normal if you don't know and you haven't been taught.
Yeah. And not only that, but it's just like a lot of people, I think that one of the blessings of this year has been we've all been forced to slow down, mm-hmm. become very aware of what's happening, not only in our personal lives, but collectively, and being able and open to tuning into a rhythm that is different than what we've been used to. So this is just kind of like the icing on the cake of like what's happened this year.
Yeah, for sure. And really tapping into living more in flow, no pun intended.
We love a good pun.
I'm a good flow pun, but it's true. And really focusing on flowing over forcing.
Yes. And I love to say that flow is not only a state of mind, but it's something our body naturally does. And it's truly a way we can live our life if we so choose. It's just a means and matter really of us making that choice and saying, hey, I'm going to choose to be in the rhythm that is naturally aligned with me, and anything that's not in alignment with it, I'm all set on.
Yeah. Oh, that's beautiful.
Thank you.
So if someone has never tracked their period or their cycle phases, mm-hmm. how can they start? Like if someone's saying, okay, what sign can I look for in my body to tell me when I'm in each phase outside of obviously, you know, luteal to menstrual is pretty self-explanatory. How do we start looking for signs in our bodies to know where we're at?
First things first, check your panties. That's what I literally tell everybody. So we are checking our panties for two reasons. One, you are looking for cervical mucus or cervical fluid. And then the second thing you are going to look for is your cervix placement. So you know, like you said, you'll always know when you are in your PMS phase or your period phase for the most part. One, you'll feel really uncomfortable at times when you're PMSing. You'll just kind of feel the cramping and the bloating come about, but you'll also notice when you're on your period, you're bleeding. So those are self-explanatory. But how do I know if I'm in my follicular phase or my ovulatory phase? It really boils down to looking in your panties in the morning and you're looking for that cervical mucus. So when you wake up tomorrow morning, I want you to check your panties and see, okay, do I see a translucent liquid or do I see an opaque liquid? You are looking for something that literally looks like snot, basically. It's just something that our body naturally produces because it's a lubricant. So cervical mucus, the one thing you want to make sure is if it looks like raw egg whites, you're ovulating. If it does not look like a raw egg white, then you are not ovulating. So you are like good to go. Still practice safe sex. But again, we are looking for translucent or opaque, and that's how you will know. Not only this, but you're checking for your cervix placement, and cervix placement is actually going to tell you a few things, but more specifically, you're looking for something. Well, we test for something called SHO. Now, if you are utilizing cervix placement, you are definitely going to have to stick your finger inside of your vaginal canal. And if you notice that it feels like the tip of your nose, then you are not ovulating. But if it feels like your Cupid's bow or like your upper lip, then you are ovulating. So those are a few things that we like to check. And last but certainly not least, we have your BBT, which is your basal body temperature. But that is really how we track things and are a little bit aware. Mostly, I just tell people wait till your period and start tracking your cycle from there. But if you're like, listen, sis, I haven't had it in a while, you're going to start with your basal body temperature, and then you're going to check your cervical fluid, and then you're going to check your cervix placement, and you're going to track that for about 28 to 30 days. And from there, you'll be able to notice some patterns within that. And that's how you'll know which phase you're in.
Oh my gosh, that is so, so helpful. And what I appreciate too about understanding what's happening with your cervical mucus and with your cervical placement is just really getting super familiar and understanding your body, which it's very easy to be disconnected from your body. And so I think those practices are just such a good way to really get in tune with yourself and understand what's going on. I would also love to talk a little bit about how stress can impact our menstrual cycles. So if we are experiencing extreme stress, I think that it's pretty common that, you know, we may experience either having some irregularity or if our, you know, period is late, stress could be why, but could stress also make these symptoms we're experiencing worse, or how does that work?
Stress is the HBIC, okay? She cortisol and insulin are the two things that sit at something that we like to call the menstrual space hormonal hierarchy. And hormonal hierarchy, if you've never heard of it, is essentially just a simplified way to understand key hormones at play in your body, but especially within your menstrual cycle. So if your cortisol levels are extremely high, I'm just going to say it because somebody has to say it, you're going to be in massive discomfort when it comes to your period, because cortisol obviously causes your adrenals to overwork, and causing your adrenals to overwork actually pulls energy from other places and support from other places within the body. And in the easiest and most non-science way I can explain, it's taking energy from your estrogen, your progesterone, your testosterone, as well as your melatonin, your thyroid hormones. And it's like, oh, well, I'm too stressed out, so I'm not going to produce the things that are going to help you have a better period, because for whatever reason, you're in a constant fight or flight state. So when you're in that chronic stress state, right, or chronic anxiety, because stress and anxiety are two sides of the same coin, literally, you know, what your body will do is it will stop functioning the way that it needs to. And if it does, because your body does try to regulate itself, it will cause it to maybe be a little bit more inflamed, hold on to things that it can't hold on to anymore. And so there's all of these confounding variables and issues that arise when you don't keep your stress in check. So that's just a little bit of how it works. But like, if we need to kind of unpack it more, like, let's do it.
That totally, totally makes sense. And it makes sense that making sure that we're incorporating stress management is a part of that kind of care routine that we have been kind of talking about this whole time. What are some ways that you like to keep stress in check to make sure it doesn't impact your cycle?
Well, first, the practitioner in me, educator in me, has to give you guys a question to think about, because I want you to journal through it.
Yeah.
What is a healthy level of stress for you?
Mm-hmm.
I feel like people don't even know what that means, but we all need to establish what is it that is okay and what is it that is not okay, and then move from there. For me, stress management is what I like to call simple. Like, every morning, daily flow check without fail. I check in to see where I'm at in my cycle, and then I write down what I'm feeling, body, mind, spirit, and then life, but also what am I grateful for and how do I want my day to be. I'm somebody who loves rhythms and routines, so I start every single day with the same thing on a piece of paper. Then from there, I get into like a little bit of breath work, especially if I'm PMSing. I love breath work on like a PMS day or a period day. It just really helps relax my body. And then from there, I just really live in a constant state of daily flow. Everything I do is surrounded and about flow. So if I'm not flowing with it, I'm not doing it.
I love that. Oh, I need to borrow that mantra.
Hey, I think this is like the thing is, 2020 has taught me to flow in life. And so that's what I'm going to do. Like, I thought I was in control of so many different things, but I'm not in control. I'm just in charge. Mm-hmm. And like, understanding that and then flowing with it, I've just been like, oh, we're good. Like, oh, this happened. Okay, pivot. Oh, that happened. Pivot. Like, it's just, it's innate at this point.
Absolutely. I think, yeah, the past year has really taught us how things can happen that are far beyond our control and how important our reactions are to those situations, for sure.
Mm-hmm. And I love to tell people, like, I'm all about being proactive, especially when it comes to our periods. Like, you know, if you've had a period for a while, you know, she's probably showing up like the fourth Saturday of every month. Put it on your calendar. No surprises. We know. It's all good.
Exactly. Oh my goodness. This has just been like the best, most informative. I have pages of notes just from the time we have been talking already.
I'm so honored. That makes me so happy. Like, we covered so much too.
Oh. We covered a lot of ground, but it was so, so helpful. I mean, this is like truly essential information for anybody who has a period, for sure.
Yeah. And I mean, I've walked you guys through the foundations of flow, menstruation 101, like flow philosophy. Like, we've done so much. And I just really hope that everyone can take away one thing, and that's like giving yourself permission to bleed and be, and like, that's it.
That's so good. Thank you for that. So, Barry, what is self-care looking like for you these days? Like, how are you taking care and keeping yourself held?
Ooh, that's good. Honestly, right now, I'm not sure. Like, I feel like there's the physical things that I could say, but really I focused in a lot on my mental health recently and just making sure that I'm doing what's really in alignment with me. So it's really been a lot of boundaries, operating only and out of integrity and like generosity. That has been a lot of my self-care these past few weeks. But also, like, we love a good face mask, and taking the time to actually like sit with my feelings and understand them. But again, I live in this constant state of daily flow. So I guess like my whole life is all about self-care at this point, and I don't really think of it as that, but that is really what it is.
That's beautiful though, that it is truly just embedded kind of into the fabric of how you live your life each day.
Yeah. I mean, when I first started out as like an adult, I had graduated from college and I was in corporate America. My health wasn't where it needed to be because I was struggling with my adrenals and like, you know, deadlines, this, doing that, pop, 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 like just always on the go. And I remember my naturopath telling me at 23, she was just like, okay, listen, you're either going to choose your career or your health, because the trajectory of this isn't where it needs to be. And I made that decision then that I was always going to prioritize my health care and well-being above all. And so 3 years later, here we are. And I'm just like, yeah, I guess my life is all about self-care.
But that's such a, I think that that's such an incredible realization to come to, especially coming to that realization when you're, you know, in your early 20s. It's really beautiful because there's so many people who get that realization so much later, and it's okay to get that realization later as long as you get it, right? Like, if you're still able to receive the message, it's not too late to start taking care of yourself. But to realize that your health is the most important thing you have at a young age is such a gift.
Yeah, I was reading or watching something with Lisa Nichols, and she talked about these 9 areas of life. And at the center is like you, your thoughts, your feelings, your beliefs, your connection to spirituality. And it resonated with me so much because I've been able to see that transcend in every aspect of my life. And I'm just so grateful that I get to now share that with other people.
That's beautiful. I mean, I'm a big Lisa Nichols fan. So
she's iconic.
She is. She's incredible. Love a good Lisa Nichols reference. But I love that. And it's kind of that idea of no matter where you go, there you are.
Yeah. And I think for so long, everyone has like run away from themselves or been distracted by so many different things. And this year, we all had to kind of look in the mirror and say, who am I and what do I stand for? And like that gut check on a consistent basis is just such a beautiful thing, but also it's like kind of uncomfortable because it's like, I haven't looked in the mirror that long. Like, hold up, wait, what? But I think it's what we all need and continuously work through.
I could not agree more. It has definitely been a time for a lot of reflection. And sometimes, you know, I think reflection is one of those things, almost like self-care, where it can sound like pretty and whimsical and fluffy. But if you're really getting down to it and doing it, it actually is kind of an ugly process.
Oh, she is not cute.
No.
But, you know, 2020 has been the year of transformation for me personally, but I think for so many other people, because you do have to do that process of like the hard work, right? It's the looking in the mirror and saying, oh, you know what? That's it. We have to get her in check. We're not sure what kind of treatments she needs, but like we have to do things like that. And I'm so grateful that we all are doing that work and we all understand like the importance of addressing those things and sitting with it. One of my favorite quotes is by Rumi. It's the wound is where the light comes from. Mm-hmm. And I feel like we have all leaned into that wound so much. And now we're like, oh, the transformation, the light is coming and I can feel it. I can see it. So yeah.
Oh my goodness. That is beautiful.
Thank you.
I hadn't heard that one before, but I love it.
I'm going to be honest. I heard it in Across the Universe with like, I think it was called Across the Universe.
Oh,
I don't know.
Yeah.
Oh, no. It's A Wrinkle in Time. I'm sorry. Yeah, Wrinkle in Time, Oprah's movie. And like, she literally quoted it. And I was like, okay, like we're with it. I'm with that one. I think that's the most beautiful way to look at any healing journey and understanding that the wound is truly where the light comes from. And I think that gives us the permission to lean into it a little more.
Yes. Oh, thank you for that. That is so good.
You're welcome.
So Barry, what does being a balanced Black girl mean to you?
Oh my goodness. Oof. Let me think of this one a little bit.
Oh, good.
Being a balanced Black girl is being authentic and true to who I am. I think a lot of us get caught up in the identity of what it is we think it means to be balanced, or what we think it means to be Black, or what we think it means to be a girl, right? But really, it's who are you authentically? Drop the labels, drop the titles. Who are you? And whoever that is what it means to be a balanced Black girl.
Oh my goodness. Okay. We're going to drop the labels and the titles and the mic on that one because that was so good.
Wasn't expecting that either.
That's really, really beautiful though. And I think, I mean, yeah, being able to really look within authentically at ourselves and to live authentically to who we are is truly one of the best gifts we can give ourselves.
For sure. Because I think that, you know, don't get me wrong, like I don't mind a title or a label. Like I love balanced Black girl, right? Like I love that. But if I were to think of what that really means, you know, or what society says that means, it means I'm doing breath work every day, meditating, yoga, different things like that. But like, what if I don't do that every day? Mm-hmm. Then what, am I not balanced, you know? Mm-hmm. So I think when you drop it all and you're like, I am me and I love who I am unconditionally through and through, that is the balance, Black girl. Like that is what we're looking for.
Absolutely. Oh, 100. I couldn't agree more. And I think balance is one of those words where people gravitate to it, but also everyone talks about how much they hate it at the same time, which is fine. I don't get offended.
Yeah.
So they're just words. But I do think that there's so much power in really redefining it for ourselves, which is why I ask everybody that question. Because if we were to look at what Instagram tells us is balance or what patriarchy tells us it's balance, it means you're doing all the things at 100% and everything's perfect. And that's not what it looks like in real time, in real life. And when we can take that definition back, we can kind of take our power back. And I think it's super important that we do so and that we define those things for what we want them to be.
You know, I couldn't agree with you more. And like, I'm going to be honest, I'm one of those people who has like a love-hate relationship with balance, but that's also why I've shifted to alignment, because it's very similar to balance. But like, I don't know, for me, whenever somebody says like, this is in alignment with me, there's so much power that comes behind it. And it's like, whoa, hold up. You said you're aligned with this? Like, we need to talk about what this is. Like, I need to know more, because balance and alignment go hand in hand. It's just kind of like more of the spiritual perspective and the physical perspective. I think that when you say alignment, immediately, I think people think of like more of this like spiritual esoteric concept, but also like it hits them differently. Whereas with balance, like we think of that and we tangibly see like the scale, right? And we almost see like a Libra, like, oh, how are we going to balance this today? Right. But like that alignment, it's like, nope, it's just going to be. And I think that that's what's so cool about it.
Yeah, definitely. I love that. I love the idea that the two work together for sure.
Yeah.
Oh, so good. Well, thank you so much for being here today. I learned so much and enjoyed this conversation so much. Can you please tell our audience where they can find you, how they can keep in touch with you, where they can listen to your podcast, and how they can work with you?
Well, first, thank you so much for having me. I'm like, this is like a bucket list thing for me. So I'm so grateful to be here. And friends, if y'all want to come hang out with me, come hang out with me on Instagram at Berion L. Berry. And then my podcast is called Flow with Berion Berry. We talk about everything from syncing with your cycle to hormones to self-healing. That's what I'm all about. And then if you want to work with me, please come hang out with me at theflowacademy.com. We literally, it just think like everything you need to know about your period, but in course format, because I loved like a digital course. I'm a teacher through and through. So yeah, that's where you can find me and work with me and all that jazz.
Amazing. I mean, I know after this is like, we did a high level crash course today, and I know everybody's going to want to like really dig into the details, and we'll make sure we have all of your information linked in the show notes so that everyone can find you, find your courses, listen to the podcast, and continue working with you.
Amazing. Thank you.
Thanks for being here. Thank you for tuning into this episode of Balanced Black Girl Podcast. I hope this conversation helped inspire you on your own personal self-care and well-being journey. Make sure you subscribe so you don't miss future episodes, and head to balancedblackgirl.com for show notes and more information. If you'd like more support finding your balance, join our private membership community for self-care tools, exclusive content, and more. Visit balancedblackgirl.com/community for more information. If you enjoyed this episode, please leave us a rating and review on Apple Podcasts, and don't forget to share it with a friend. Thanks so much for tuning in.